Hi, this is Greg Schultz from Storage.io, and welcome to today's podcast. Today I'm joined by Alistair Cook, a.k.a. on Twitter of Demitazi NZ. Alistair, how are you?
I'm very good, Greg, and thanks for inviting me on.
No worries. You know, Alistair, before we go further, I've got to ask you, explain your Twitter name.
Well, Greg, I drink a fair amount of coffee. I drink mine very small and very black, and so I drink from a coffee cup called a Demitasse, literally means half a cup. And then the NZ is simple. I live and mostly work in New Zealand, so Demitasse NZ is my Twitter handle.
We ran into each other not too long ago in San Francisco at VMworld, and it seems you get around to a lot of different conferences, a lot of different events, a lot of them with the theme and focus around VMware.
Well, my day job is teaching VMware training courses on contract for VMware, so I have a lot of interest in the virtualization, particularly VMware products. The large number of conferences this year is to be laid at the feet of the V Brown Bag podcast. And for the listeners who haven't come across it before, V Brown Bag is a podcast that's been running for a couple of years. It's about helping people who are working with virtualization, particularly with VMware virtualization, to achieve certification. So we're aimed at helping you get through VMware certifications through self-study, and it's really a support group, and we cover the technical content of those certifications.
Tell us a little bit
this year.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the Brown Bags, Alistair.
So the podcast runs, there's now three editions of it. There's a US edition. That was the original one that was founded by Cody Bunch from ProfessionalVMware.com and has been carried on by Damien Carlson and Josh Atwell over the last year or so. It goes out every week, goes out, I'm trying to work the time zone math, goes out Wednesday evening US time, and it's recorded live, anybody can join, but it's mostly consumed, downloaded off iTunes. So if you go onto iTunes and you search for V Brown Bag or for a Brown Bag podcast, you've come across the podcast, you'll be able to consume it from there. And since we've been on iTunes late last year when Nick Marshall, who's a Sydney-based guy, started doing the work to get us on iTunes, there's been an absolute assumption of the podcast. Year-to-date, we're on 50,000 downloads of podcast episodes, which is massive compared to the couple of hundred a month we used to get a year and a half ago. I run the APAC edition, so we focus this year on design. So a big focus for me is design, and we covered the entire blueprint for the VMware's Advanced Professional Data Center Design certification over the course of about 13 weeks at the beginning of the year. And then since VMworld Europe, there's now a V Brown Bag in Europe that is run by Greg Robertson and Arjan Timmerman. And they've just started up. They've run a couple of sessions, and that's picking up some followership in Europe. So we really are global these days.
So the V Brown Bag, again, you can find that on iTunes, a search for V Brown Bag?
Yes, or alternatively, go to professionalvmware.com, and in the top ribbon menu, there is a Brown Bag link in there, which contains, as well as having the iTunes feed, we've also got a generic RSS feed that you can use for your Android device, which is how I consume the podcast.
Oh, cool. So taking a step back on the V Brown Bag podcast, Alistair, who are they for? I mean, are they for everybody? Are they just for the uber geeks? Or, you know, who should and who would benefit from listening to these?
The primary audience is somebody who is working with virtualization and particularly vSphere on a daily basis on VMware's products and that really wants to get better at working with them and probably prove that they're better at working with them by getting certification. So it's very much the technical implementer audience that's coming along with us.
Would you say there's any prerequisites for, like if you've got a technical type person, can they jump in right away, or is there like some background or a primer material that they could or should leverage?
Different episodes at very different levels. So the US podcast ran through the VCP5 blueprint recently, which is VMware's introductory primary level certification. It's for people who've worked in IT for a while, but not necessarily ones who have got a huge amount of vSphere skill. And then it ranges right through from that entry-level material to what the US podcast is running at the moment, which is a VCDX bootcamp. John Arashid, who was the very first of VMware's certified design expert, which is VCDX, he's running a series of three podcasts which go through the VCDX bootcamp process of helping people with advanced skills to achieve VMware's most elite, highest level of certification, which is VCDX. So we cover the whole range.
So, Alistair, for those listeners who may not be familiar in all the VMware terminology and talk, can you explain real quickly what is the VCDX?
The VCDX is a certified design expert. It's aimed at a person who does a lot of design work with vSphere, who engages in front of a customer and can think and design on their feet. It tests you on your abilities around that standing up in front of a customer, but it also tests your abilities to do a full design exercise, including full awareness of all of the compromises that are inherent in any design. There are currently about 105, 106 certified in the world, but I was talking with the VMware's Global Director of Certification, Eric Landerson, last week, and they seem to want to increase those numbers because they feel there are a lot of people out in the industry who have the skills to be VCDX but haven't done the certification, and they really want to ramp up the adoption of the certification.
That's interesting in that, obviously, with VMware server virtualization growing, that need for those design experts, that is VCDX maybe seen as too exclusive, too hard to reach, too hard to get to, that, or just that people don't know about it?
I think there's elements of the two. VCDX is an arduous process. You have to actually go to a VMware site and stand up in front of a panel and defend the design work that you've done. You have to go through thinking on your feet design exercise and troubleshooting exercise. So the actual defense is 2 hours long. And what I'm told by those who've been through it is it's extremely tough. But this is the aim is to make sure that the certification is technically rigorous. It's not to exclude people just because it's difficult, but it should include everybody who achieves that skill level.
Alistair, that sounds rather different than so often you hear about. Basically, you can go off and buy a certification, where this one is actually applied. You have to have real working knowledge, kind of like if you're going for an advanced degree, having to go pass through the orals as opposed to just simply taking the test.
Absolutely, and that was the aim of the certification, was to make sure that you couldn't achieve it without actually having real-world skills and the ability to stand up in front of a customer and do thinking on your feet design work and communicate really effectively with your customers what you're doing.
Got it. So now let's talk a little bit about, because you're also involved with the vForms. Tell us a little bit more about those.
Yeah, so last week was my third VMware conference in 3 months. I went to vForum in Sydney, and this is the VMware conference I've been going to for the longest. I've been going to this since before it was called vForum and when it was a couple of hundred people. This year it was 6,500 people, 2 days of technical content. Looked like there were about 8 different streams through the day as well. So it was getting to the sort of scale of VMworld in Europe, a little bit smaller than VMworld in Europe. And the biggest difference is that there's no registration fee. So the barrier to entry to getting to the conference is really travel, accommodation, and time away from the office. It's relatively easy to get into.
That's quite a difference than, say, like when you go to VMworld in San Francisco, where you've got the barrier entry of being travel, logistics, hotels, and things like that, but then you've got that fee of actually getting in.
Yes, I know that's a significant impediment to some people, and by the way, if that's going to cause you a problem getting to VMworld next year, then take a look at the vBrownBag site, professional VMware site, as we start to publicise our end-of-year giveaway, because we've had a commitment of a full conference pass for one or other of the VMworlds for next year.
Great. That's great. And, I mean, we were both at the VMworld in San Francisco, and we ended up at the Flip Cup event.
Did. You were walking out of one event as I was thinking about walking into it, and I decided to go with you rather than with the event, and we headed to V Flip Cup, which ran for the very first time this year. A bit of an education for me as well, because being from New Zealand, I've never seen Flip Cup before.
You know, I had seen the game in the past and at parties and stuff like that, but what really caught my attention more than the game was just all of the interaction, and just there was like no pretense. Everybody was getting along. Everybody wanted to meet and talk, and it was just a real nice, relaxed environment.
That's what I typically look for in a social event at VMworld. There's a lot of events go on, I look for the ones where I'm going to be able to talk to some random person who's standing next to me at the event that I know has an interest that I share in virtualization. And I've had really, that has been my highlights from my VMworlds has been the random person standing next to me that I've talked to who happens to be interesting and doing interesting things.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's part of it is getting out and meeting people where, and, you know, the conversations aren't always just about vSphere or vConsole or VMware in general, but they can branch into other discussions. They can branch into other areas of interest.
Yeah, they can go purely social. I would remember very clearly talking to a guy by the name of Ray from Texas at Christopher Cusick's party last year. And it was very much a social conversation. On the other hand, it can end up in professional development. Another chap that I met there at the same party ended up working for another organization in Australia. He was an English guy who was sort of working in virtualization as he traveled around the world, and he found his next piece of work. He ended up working for 12 months in Australia while he could for the duration of the visa that he had.
You know, that's a good point about the networking, and, you know, we've chatted about this, that oftentimes people say the IT world is small, everybody knows everybody, but, or even you could say the virtualization world is small, everybody knows everybody, but, you know, we're both vExperts, and I think I maybe only know at best a fraction of them. How about you?
Yeah, well, this year I believe there are about 330 vExperts, and I would say I know less than a third of them. Two VMworlds has helped a lot. I've met a lot of vExperts through turning up there because, of course, vExperts by their nature engage in social media and these activities, and it's what I was doing at VMworlds, and particularly at Barcelona, was very much about doing social media things. So, Greg, as a sort of segue while I'm talking about that, I thought we might talk about the professional VMware vBrown Bag Tech Talks.
Absolutely. Please do.
What took me to Barcelona.
Please do.
So lots of people submitted sessions for VMware. There were about 1,800 submissions of sessions, and only 200 got accepted. So the three that I submitted and the one that I was a panelist on didn't get accepted. This led to some people saying, well, you have to be a VMware employee to present at VMworld. Let's go and set up our own unconference. The vBrown Bag crew became a bit of a focus for this. This sits really well with Cody's grassroots kind of mentality. But as soon as we started talking about doing something, the social media team from VMware reached out to us and said, hey, we've got a stage, we've got cameras, we've got live broadcast environment. Bring your content to the community's lounge. Have the stage for as much time as you need during the San Francisco conference. And that's literally what we did. We put out a call. We said, anybody whose session didn't get accepted for VMworld or anybody who has some material they'd like to present that's valuable to the community, we're running 10-minute lightning sessions. You get to talk for 10 minutes on the absolute core of your idea. We will have a stage, we'll have seating so people can watch you live, but we'll also have cameras and video switching gear to stream live and record so people can watch later. In San Francisco, we put together, between that, the vExpert corner, doing some longer interviews with some of the better-known bloggers and people involved in the community, and then Randy Keener's awesome not-supported sessions. I think we ended up with around 20 hours of content out of community-generated content out of VMworld in San Francisco. And that was so successful that VMware asked us to do the same thing in Barcelona. And, of course, we said, yeah, we'd love to go to Spain, but somebody needs to pay our costs. And so Veeam and Cisco and Nutanix stepped up to sponsor us so that myself and Josh Atwell and Damien could go to Barcelona and run the same process again in Barcelona. In Barcelona, we got about 12 hours' worth of content recorded and live attended, and it's really stepped up. Then I decided that this was a good thing to develop community, and so I put together my own much more portable, much more low-cost environment for doing these recordings, and I took that to the forum in Sydney last week, and I did about 5 sessions last week of that. So there seems to be a nice sort of embracement by VMware of community-generated content, that they like the idea that their users are generating something useful, and there's a different perspective that they can then help us to publish and make available to people.
That's fantastic. And where can people find that content, Alistair?
So it's coming out in a few ways. The easiest way to get to it is on livestream.com. If you look for the channel called VMware Community TV, this is where it went as it was being live streamed. I had just, while I was in Barcelona, I had some of my colleagues here in New Zealand were watching some of the sessions live streaming through. Because of the time difference, I really felt that I needed some sleep. But that was where the content got up. Also, progressively, the content is going to come out on the V Brown Bag podcast feed or linked through the professional VMware blog. So we're going to try and make sure people are aware that it's out there. And that's often one of the problems that people face is there's huge amounts of useful content, but finding the right content can be a bit of a challenge.
Alistair, let's shift gears here. And again, that's great. So again, people, you can find those sessions, that information on the V Brown Bag podcast. But Alistair, I also want to ask you about something else that you've talked about in the past, which is the Auto Lab. Explain that.
So a while ago, I was working with Nick Marshall, who does the V Brown Bag iTunes work, and we had an idea to help people achieve VMware certification by giving them some labs that they could complete outside of the VMware training courses. Because, of course, hands-on learning is the way most of us technical people learn. As part of developing that, I started to build a rebuildable nested lab. So this is running ESX and running vCenter in virtual machines on a PC under VMware Workstation. Pretty quickly, I realized that this was incredibly valuable because it dealt with a problem that I'd previously had, which was that it takes you a week to build this lab up by hand. I built some scripts and some automation to allow us to build a very standardized lab very rapidly. And this is being released as Autolab. You can find it on labguides.com. And the Autolab itself is just a set of shell virtual machines. There's a couple of fully built virtual machines that use open source operating systems. But you need to bring all of your own licensed software. Now, this helps keep the download very small, but also keeps it legal because, of course, I can't give you Microsoft licensing. I can't give you installed copies of vSphere. You need to bring those along. What you do with the Autolab is you download this kit of pre-built virtual machines. One of the virtual machines is a free NAS virtual machine, and you copy your installers onto that one. So all of the vSphere installers get copied onto there. And then you bring your Windows 2008 install ISO and you boot the domain controller virtual machine on that and you walk away from it for an hour. Over the course of the hour, it'll install Windows, it'll make it a domain controller, it'll install SQL Express, and do all of the preparatory steps that are required for it to be a full infrastructure server. All of that's fully automated. At the end of it, there's a validation script that you run to make sure everything's completed correctly. Then you move on to vCenter, and vCenter is very much the same process. You provide your 2008 ISO, and you boot from that ISO, and the build again is fully automated. And again, you come back after an hour, and you have a fully built vCenter server. The domain controller is also a Pixie boot server that can be used to build two ESX servers. Now, everything here is running in virtual machines on top of your laptop or your PC. And the two ESX servers get built. Then you go inside the vCenter virtual machine, and I provided a script, a PowerShell script, that will create all of the data center objects and add the ESX servers and finish the configuration of networking and storage on them. And then even create some virtual machines so that by the end of about half a day's time, you have a fully functional vSphere lab with virtual machines with HA and DRS in place. It's pretty cool, pretty quick, really easy to rebuild, takes away a lot of the pain of working with the peripheral products that are required before you can get vSphere up.
So what are the barriers to entry? In other words, what are the requirements? What's the minimum that people have in terms of a hardware software to be able to leverage the Autolab?
So you need a PC or a Mac with at least 8 gigabytes of RAM, 16 gig is better. You need 100 gigabytes of free space, preferably on an SSD. And you need at least a dual-core CPU that's not too old. I'm seeing machines that were CPUs that shipped in 2007 being successfully used to build this. So the barrier is not huge, but it's not trivial. It's not going to work on a 2 gigabyte of RAM 5-year-old machine, but any current PC with 8 gigs or more of RAM is going to build okay.
And does it matter
if it's... you need a 64-bit operating system and you need a virtualization platform on that too.
So my question is that you would have to have a 64-bit processor.
Absolutely.
And then do you also have to have ESX or some hypervisor already installed?
All the development was done on top of VMware Workstation 8, and it works perfectly on top of Workstation 9. I also ship a version of it that runs on top of ESX. So if you're running vSphere 4 or 5, actually I think you need 5, in order to run the 64-bit VMs in ESX in a supported way. So it will run on top of ESX, and I've architected it so that a single ESX server, if you have enough resources, could run multiple instances of the Autolab concurrently. So if you've got a team, each team member could have their own Autolab running inside its own bubble on a shared ESX server. And then at VMworld this year, James Bowling, vCentral, had done some work around documenting how to build the Autolab or deploy the Autolab on top of VMware Fusion. So we've got good coverage across the different platforms.
That sounds great. It sounds like a great resource as part of all the other tools out there, between the conferences, the training, the vBrown bags, is having that Autolab.
Yes, and the Autolab we typically use a lot in vBrown bag. Wherever we're doing demos of a command line working with storage in vSphere, most of those demos are done with Autolab because it's an environment that is well documented, well prescribed, and easily repeatable for students or for people who are attending the show who want to do the same activities again. So Autolab is our go-to environment for demonstrating things for vBrown bag.
Great. Alistair, real quickly, because I know we're getting short and you've got to go do some training, is probably tying back into that Autolab and everything else, where does the VDI, are you able to test and try and do things with VDI with the Autolab?
Absolutely. So version 1.0 of the Autolab was the third release that I did. It was a little while before VMworld this year, and this is some additional products. So we had Damien Carlson from the Brown Bag had done a build of vCloud Director 1.5 that goes inside the Autolab, and I'd done view. One of my specializations is in user compute, and so I'd done an automated build of view 5.0 that nicely automates the build inside of the Autolab, and also I've done a not quite so nicely automated view 5.1 build. Now, typically these additional products, you'll need more than 8 gigabytes of RAM in the PC that you're running the Autolab on. The full view and vCloud deploy out will require 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Great. So, Alistair, we got to wrap up. I know your time is limited. You mentioned you have to go off and do some things. So, again, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Greg. It's always good to talk with you.
Always a pleasure. And real quickly, again, your website is?
Demitas.co.nz.
Okay. And, of course, your Twitter at DemitasiNZ. And we'll put all that in the metadata, the wrapper for this podcast. Any other sites or blogs or anything that you want to mention before we wrap up, Alistair?
So the other thing that I haven't mentioned is the APAC Virtualization Podcast, which is a podcast modeled after the VMware Communities podcast. So it's an open, anybody can jump in and take part in the conversation. The website for that is apacvirtual.com. That goes out on alternate Wednesdays in a Sydney time zone.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So again, thank you very much, Alistair, for joining us today. And with that,
I look forward to seeing you in person.
Look forward to hooking up again. Actually, I need to get back down. I need to get down under again. I haven't been down to Oz, and I've yet to be to New Zealand. So I need to get down there.
Absolutely.
All right. This is Greg Schultz again from Storage.io, wrapping up this episode of the Storage.io podcast. Okay. Enough said.